This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation, live from Premier Grilling in Frisco. Big Valentine's Day Kamado Joe sale going on. Great opportunity to come in here and save a bunch of money on a Kamado Joe. And it's Mike's final show. Unbelievable after 6.5 years. It is Valentine's Day, the day of love, and we're breaking up, Mikey B.
Thanks for the ride.
But this is the night.
Yes.
This is the day.
It is. That the Lord has made.
Of what?
Well, no, that we go as hard as we can.
All right.
Because we know it's over after tonight.
Finish strong.
Yeah.
Was that innuendo?
I don't know. Yeah,
Might be.
It's Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Men's Tee live spot action in there.
Okay. Yeah.
Still time to swing by Men's Tee Clinic in time for Valentine's Day.
You guys handle this segment. Looks like we got some food here at Premier Grilling.
Delivery of bratwurst. Yeah, I saw them grilling those up 10 minutes or so ago. They're making some pork butts, and they got food here. They got food and beverage. They'll keep you entertained while you shop. Okay.
I was thinking about going Kamado Joe just to put it next to my egg.
Very festive.
To one, flaunt my wealth, and two, always make it look like Christmas. Have a red one and a green one. It'll be great.
Yeah, look great on the back patio, and they have the latest and greatest. I think it's the Gen 3 Kamado Joe, and Big Green Egg has upgraded theirs over the years as well.
I will say there are times with family and friends over that the Big Green Egg can't handle everything that you need to do.
Yeah, maybe two Big Green Eggs or a Kamado Joe and a Big Green Egg.
It is tough. Yeah, I can get like between 60 and 80 wings on that thing, but you're like, but there's other things I need to make too. I need more than an XL, which is, man, that's messed up.
I'm currently working with the three different cookers on the back patio, and I'm looking to add maybe a fourth or something. You know, you need a pellet grill, possibly a gas grill. You know, your offset smoker. They have all those and more right here at Premier Grilling. Plus, unbelievable construction and design team if you're looking to do something amazing on the back patio to create an outdoor living area. Okay, NBA All-Star Weekend is coming up. Luka Doncic is, of course, a lot of sports fans' Valentine this year. He is the belle of the ball at 20 years old with a brilliant career ahead of him. Do you feel, you know, there's a lot of different kind of All-Stars, Mike. Is Luka now going to be the perennial starting All-Star that only applies to a couple of different guys that get to hold that kind of position and status in the league for like a decade?
I'm pretty sure he is. I can't imagine. Even when you start questioning him, right? For the 7 games he was out, when Porzingis was averaging 28, 29 points a game and having great games, and the Mavericks go 3-4, so it wasn't the best record, but it wasn't horrible. And then you start saying, man, look at Luka's 3-point percentage. Look at how Luka's stinking at the free throw line, right? You start just thinking of kind of some of the negative things. And it's like, he's great, but he could be better at this. And then he comes back his first game, and he's like an easy 33 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. And you're just like, my gosh, this is one of the greatest players I've ever seen. And he's 20 years old, about to be 21 in a week or so. But I don't see what would stop him from the next 10 years or so being a starting all-star in the Western Conference, hopefully for the Dallas Mavericks every time, and in the Western Conference. I don't see how it's going to stop.
Has he already accomplished something Dirk never did?
Yeah, Dirk never was voted as starting all-star. He was a starting all-star like when the game was here, because I can't remember who got hurt, but he was an all-star. Somebody got hurt, so they're like, look, it's in Arlington. Let's put Dirk in the starting lineup. And Dirk was close to winning the MVP that year of the all-star game, but he never was voted because he had Duncan and Garnett pretty much in the Western Conference his whole career, that they would always get the vote. And I can't remember, there's obviously other people that would get the majority vote in the Western Conference over him. And
So you're totally locked in on this, or
Just you know what?
Casually I'm, interested in
it? So I am actually really interested in the All-Star Game Sunday, but I will tell you, I will flip it off if it looks anything like the past 10 All-Star games that I've flipped on for 2 seconds. If the new rules of we're going to play a kind of a quarter of peace to see who wins the game for charity, I'm not saying it has to look like a real NBA basketball game. But if it looks like I don't care if you go dunk it. I don't care. Like, I don't care at all on defense. I'm just going to let you score if you want to score, and then give me the ball, and I'm going to try something fancy to score with zero basketball at all. I'll be like, I don't care to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of fun, I think, at times when basically you're getting like a live dunk reel or something like that. If there's nothing better to do, sometimes it can be entertaining. I don't know. I guess it'll depend on, you know, what else is on. But I do anticipate a high level of competitiveness with the new format and honoring Kobe. That'll take place Sunday night, the big game. Tonight at 8 o'clock on TNT is the Rising Stars game. The celebrity game starts at 6 o'clock. And then, you know, tomorrow evening you'll have skills and three-point contest and all that, and then the slam dunk contest.
7 o'clock tonight, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock tonight. Yeah, 7 o'clock tonight for the it says 9 o'clock Eastern right here. 6 o'clock is the Rising Stars Texas time. And then,
okay.
Yeah, 8 o'clock Texas time all there right. on TNT, your Rising Stars game. So it's going to be a late one. You know, give you a chance to head on out there and have your Valentine's dinner and be all romantic and everything, and maybe even catch some Luka against the American Young Rising Stars in the game.
You guys see the rosters for the celebrity game?
No.
It really made me realize I know nothing about pop culture whatsoever.
Oh, really?
I've heard of like three people in the game.
Wow.
And one's because they were in the Super Bowl halftime show, somebody named Bad Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
I always assumed that
the
was
Cuban
a
dude.
I always assumed that was a female until the Super Bowl halftime show. And so I was like, that's Bad Bunny. And I was like, yeah, that's a guy. And they were like, yeah, that's I get that person and the Cash Me Outside girl confused.
Oh, really?
Because I believe her name is Bad Barbie.
Oh, right.
Yes,
oh,
really?
That's her Instagram name.
Yeah, that's what she is now.
Okay, how about this story here? Is every day at 2 o'clock we talk about everything that's been developing in the world of sports. The headline, Broncos and Rams are cutting their scouting combine attendance, Jeffrey.
Why are they doing that?
They're not going to be sending assistant coaches to the combine because they believe they'll make better use of their time watching film back in Denver. The Rams are not sending their offensive and defensive coordinators to the combine because they would rather have them in L.A. implementing the team's new offensive and defensive schemes.
Maybe it's like the Cowboys. Maybe their coaches have been going to the combine and they haven't seen these guys, and they meet somebody and they're like, that's our guy. And they're like, right, coach, we've got him in the sixth round. And they're like, right, but I really like him. We're going to take him there in the second. And they're like, you guys probably just shouldn't come here. All you do is screw things up, because I feel like that's kind of where the Cowboys have gotten to, where it's like, why don't all you just stay home?
Okay,
we've got this.
When you're talking with scouting people on Twitter, or when you were at the combine or at the Senior Bowl, how prevalent of a conversation is that? Is that what we're starting to see? The Cowboys didn't send their guys to the Senior Bowl. Are scouting guys, or you know, I don't know what it would be, numbers guys in baseball, after a while they started pushing out old school football guys from the decision making process. Are we starting to see something similar where scouting guys are saying, listen, this is really getting down to an exact science in a 365 day a year job, and we don't want highly influential people coming into this so late in the game and putting their egos and their very respected voices into our process? That would be very interesting if multiple teams are making sure of that logistically. And you know, my opinion, I don't want to be disrespectful to the coaches, but you know, the scouts have an expertise as well. And the way football is drawn up from an organizational perspective, you know, they're two different departments. You know, it's not like the scouts work for the coaches. The scouts are in charge of identifying the best possible personnel that fits what the coaches do. But I think they should have full autonomy all the way through up until the moment the general manager is making the final decision.
I do too. And I don't know if that's the reason for these other teams, but I'm sure that goes that way in every organization, where there's a little bit of probably resentment when you do a lot of work and you get these guys in the order that you want them, and then somebody swoops in late in the process, like, I really like that guy, let's take him. Because what you have is a bunch of guys without a voice whose job is on the line if the player doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Like, the coach could pick a player that you're like, we didn't have him ranked to be picked there, but if your team's not good, the scouting staff gets fired. And you're like, but that's not the guy we wanted, or those aren't the guys we wanted. So I don't know every individual team's reasoning for it, but it sure seems like the better idea to me.
Well, Fangio, it sounds like the head coach of the Broncos, he still wants his assistant's input. I guess he just said, you know, they'd be better suited studying prospects back home. Adam Schefter saying in a copycat league, this could set more of a trend. Rams head coach Sean McVay will attend the opening days of the combine, fulfilling his obligation to talk to media, but then will return to L.A. before implementing his systems with two new coordinators. All right, the baseball storyline, Cody Bellinger. Lucius, do you have this audio back there, Cody Bellinger talking to Jose Altuve? Okay. The quote, "I thought the apologies were whatever," Bellinger said, referencing the Astros' public apologies Thursday from the spring training site. "I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, given the players' immunity. Those guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Aaron Judge in 2017. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us, but it's over," says Cody Bellinger there. So that's pretty strong. You know, that goes to, man, what's it going to look like once these games start, and how much animosity is there really going to be? Because you can tell he's trying to say there at the end it's over and all that, but this is going to bring up some very strong feelings that will not go away easily.
Yeah, and, you know, when it was the steroid era, everybody had players on their team doing steroids. So it was not much knocking from the current players of the steroid guys. Because it's like, man, probably one of my buddies, teammates, probably doing it. This is literally everybody in Major League Baseball is against the Astros.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like if you've moved from that 2017 team to a team, it has to be a little bit tough on you right now.
Yeah.
To be like, man, you're a freaking cheater.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Marwin Gonzalez apologized so much. Because I just think being on another team, if you're on the 2017 Astros and you're still on the Astros, you're still in your own little clubhouse with your guys that all cheated with you.
Yeah.
But if you've moved on from that Astros team to another team, I bet it's kind of tough because players are furious, which makes me think the Astros thought, at least they were convinced, that other teams were doing similar things. The way players are speaking out, current players, like whatever Will Clark said, I get. Will Clark isn't playing, so he doesn't know. I don't know. I'm not playing. But I would say all of the current players on other teams are furious with this and think the punishment is a joke, which makes me think nobody was doing something like
this. Yes, I think that's the most interesting thing, right? Like what Willie Calhoun said yesterday. Now, maybe, you know, he wasn't around at a big league level in 2017,
right.
But when players start to talk that were your rivals, you know, when this thing first started to break, I thought that was a really interesting angle on the entire dynamic. How many other teams did it?
Yeah.
But you're right, Mike, the stronger the words that come about what the Astros did, you wouldn't feel comfortable at all. You would just be like, well, you know, let's move on, or,
yeah,
you know, the commissioner has decided to do something, but, you know, we don't know exactly what happened. There's all kinds of ways to talk around this. But the anger level coming from Cody Bellinger, I would be shocked if there was any involvement from the Dodgers with that story. So
it does, after yesterday. And I know the commissioner's not going to go backwards. I wish he would make them take down everything 2017.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. Yeah. It's
just
time.
Say your apologies are a farce to this game. You know what? I'm going further with this. I'm not suspending the players because they did talk to me and give me information that I don't know if I would have got without them talking. But you can't fly the flag anymore. You can't sell anything that says world champs on it for 2017.
Okay. Washington has released Josh Norman after 4 years. He had, you know, a pretty good run with them for 3 years, two really, really good ones. My favorite was 2016 when Dez told him if he kept on talking, he would unload the clip.
Oh, that was your favorite.
Is that when they did, was it Verizon commercials? I can't, it was some
something
sort of
like
telephone commercial where Josh Norman and Dez kind of had their own commercials against each other.
Yeah, they were having fun.
Man, corners get old in a hurry.
They do.
You can be awesome at 30, and then at 32, it's like nobody wants him. The end.
How old's Byron Jones?
26, 27?
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he's going to be great for somebody not named the Cowboys because the Cowboys gave all their money to Jalen and Zeke.
I mean, sometimes the guys make it to the other side of 30, right? And
yeah,
those,
oh, for sure.
Those
like,
guys are freaks.
I think Terrence Newman made it to 40.
Yeah.
Terrence and Darryl Green.
Stars again, this time on the road in Toronto. Tyler Seguin broke his scoring drought.
Uh-huh.
And you watched?
I told you.
You weren't a jinx?
Yeah, I watched, and Tyler Seguin scored for me while I was watching. And then Toronto battled back with a little they pulled the goalie and scored, and so the last 2 minutes were a little tense. But we held on and got the dub, had a nice little fight mixed in there. It was a nice little game.
Yeah, good stuff by the Dallas Stars. They just keep on rolling.
Sagan also fully I was watching the post game show afterwards, and I think they were asking about just how long it had been, and he goes, "Man, that long! Holy bleep!"
Yeah,
and I'm just like, "Hooray, Cable!" It was great.
Yeah, that long of a drought for that kind of a score, very rare in the NHL. Landry Jones starting for the XFL Sunday, 2 o'clock on ABC.
Yes.
Enjoy that, football people. And, man, I saw last hour at the end of the hour, I don't know who it was, but he just crushed the XFL.
Oh.
When that CBS Sports Minute thing. Oh. Is it radio.com Sports Minute thing? Now, I don't know if it's
Nobody
BT
knows.
Or
yeah.
One of those guys, but he was like, listen, you didn't watch. Nobody's going to watch.
They have
like,
numbers on these things. It got all the games got like fours.
I know. He was
it's
tough,
not
though.
Good for an NFL football game. It would be the worst ever, but it's great for any other sport.
It'll see how it holds up. It has more momentum than the AAF, but the AAF was kind of talked about for a week or so and then kind of went away. Then
you
we found
wait.
Out they were losing a ton of cash.
I do think this is going to be a big week for the XFL, and I don't think it's going under this year. But
can you maintain
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because the first week after the Super Bowl is over and there was kind of publicity while we were watching still NFL football, now there's no NFL football to throw your commercials on to say, hey, the XFL's coming up. I think this is going to be a big week because if it drops down to, let's just say, a 1-3,
yeah.
Right? Then now we're going to be like, ooh, that was a big drop. And if it's week two, is it just going to now stay at a 1-3 or are we going to just steadily keep dropping down until we get to like a 0.5
yeah.
when we get to like week 7 or something of the season?
Okay. And then the other thing breaking is a soccer story with
Man City
being suspended from the Champions League for 2 years. I think to boil it down, their ownership was lying about how much money they were making off of the naming rights for their jersey. So it wouldn't look like they were losing money overall. They were lying like, no, no, we're not losing money. We're still profitable because that's the only rule that they have. You can't spend so much money on players that you lose money. So they were exaggerating how much money they were making on their naming rights so they could spend more money on players to try to win the championship.
In other words, soccer in Europe is a little bit different than American sports.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I'm not making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions every year in soccer. They're like, no, I swear to God, we made $4.
Yes.
I swear we're profitable.
Yeah, we can afford more players. Please, believe me. Let me lose money to try to win a championship. That's all I want to do. Unbelievable.
I'm going to miss those Champion League games, Gavin.
Mm. Yeah, a couple years.
Oh, that's your squad, huh?
Yeah, it's my squad.
Sure
bunch of cheaters.
Back. Okay.
Come on over.
I had a jersey. I gave it to Allie.
Well, Mike, Tottenham's profitable. Come on over.
Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, we have more sports content for you. Cowboys don't have enough to keep Byron. How you get difference makers for this defense with very little money. I have a solution to offer the Cowboys and to get your thoughts on it coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back. Premier Grilling is our broadcast location here for this Valentine's Day, and they have an amazing deal on the Kamado Joe. All sizes, come on in over the next 2 days. And the sale's so good, I can't even mention the price. You know, they said, nah, let's just keep that until they get in here. So
I thought I saw somebody come in and say they wanted a Kamado Joe, and they gave him money. And
yeah.
Then he took it out of the play.
It's
like,
not
what?
Quite that good.
Oh,
not
okay.
quite that good, but it's really good, Mike.
What was going down then?
Mike, I think you break every advertising
oh.
ever made for radio on a daily basis.
Yeah. Four locations, Premier Grilling here. We are at the Frisco location, El Dorado and the Toll. Okay, I was looking at how to put this Cowboys roster together earlier, and I keep running into, quickly running out of money because there's so many roster spots that need to be filled.
It's only like 25.
And, they all can't be league minimum players. So here's my thought for you, Jeff. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Franklin Frankel, 214-333-3333 or frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Charter Communication. You make financially prudent choices. You make conservative choices here in free agency and all that. And you get Dak and Amari back, and the offense can be pretty good, I think. And defense will be looking slightly below average on paper at that point, right? If you don't bring back Byron Jones, but you do have upside with your linebackers and your safeties, and maybe you'll get a couple of bargain barrel type of free agents. But you don't have enough money to get them, sign your draft class, and sign impactful players. You're looking at maybe a $10 million player, or maybe a couple. couple of $5 million players after Dak and Amari, but that's all you have room for right now unless you really want to get creative and reckless creating additional cap space. So how do you still have a good defense? I think the answer is clear. And I think it's something that's been in the best team's toolkits here for a number of years, and the Cowboys actually used it back in 2018. Once you get to the regular season, the teams that don't start well, the tanking teams, you know, they're going to be looking at Trevor Lawrence. They're going to be looking at the chances of, hey, you know, winning games is not all that great anyway. Maybe we could trade a player that has just a couple of years. We can't open a championship window in the next 2 to 3 years. So any players that are going to come up in free agency, that's when they're looking to move. That's why the Jets were still looking to move Jamal Adams, even though it was only, what, his second or third year in the NFL. These guys have years left at lower salaries. You can still get premium players in this league without paying a high salary as long as you're willing to give up first-round picks. It was actually Michael Bennett for a sixth-rounder, you know, a guy who the year before was an 8 or 9 sack player from the defensive tackle position. You could get a defensive tackle with a 6. You could get Jamal Adams with a 1. I assume he's still going to be worth a first-round pick next year.
You know what I like about your strategy so far?
What's that?
It also doesn't involve assuming that your team's going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
Because you're not sinking anything in going right into it. You're like, no, we're just going to play and know that later we're going to add and pretend that you're going to be good. And then if you are, great. And if not, you're like, hey, we don't have to do that.
Because the problem is spending the money to bring everybody back, there's still no guarantee you'd be good.
Right.
I know the Cowboys were unlucky and the advanced stats say they should have been a 10-win team or something, but you could spend all that money, bring everybody back, say, all right, we got Quinn, Bennett, and Jones. Let's go, and still be a 500 team or worse. So this gives you a chance for your offense to show under McCarthy. It can roar, and then you see what might work on your defense. And if it's a player or two away, then, hey, you don't even need cap space. You just need picks.
Do you think the Cowboys can be a championship team without ever going all in a season? That they can actually say, you know what, we're going to manage the salary cap with what I assume to be a $35 to $40 million quarterback, and we're going to manage it where we're never going to find ourselves, hey, in like 2 or 3 years, we're going to be in bad shape. And they're all, and they could actually do it without having to say, you know what, let's just get in bad shape. We know it's going to be in bad shape in 2 or 3 years. Let's just go all after it this year.
I guess for me, the whatever percentage increase of winning the Super Bowl when you do stuff like that, to me, is not worth it. Because I figured if you do the best job you possibly can team building this offseason, you put the best possible team that you can on the field, Dak plays well, your defense is average, then what percent chance does that give you to win the Super Bowl? Like 8?
I don't know.
10?
That's a good question.
12? If you build the best team you possibly and if I'm willing to like do some restructures and this and that and add one player that's a $20 million player that I couldn't have had otherwise, what does that do to my odds? Like 0.5%? Maybe. To me, it's just a risk-reward thing. So I would be on board with just responsible team building all the time.
And about half the league does that.
Yeah, but I get it if you get to a trade deadline and you're – what week is that? You're like 6-1, and you're like, guys, let's do it. Let's double down. Let's triple down. Let's do what we got to do to add this.
I think if you are in a situation with Drew Brees or Tom Brady – and I know Tom Brady's a free agent, but let's just assume he goes back to New England. So what? Screw over your salary cap for 2023. This is it. This is your last chance to try to win with what you still consider to have like a good quarterback. And so I don't think the Cowboys are in that situation. So I wouldn't do it if I was the Cowboys. But if I just look at the Denver Broncos, it worked. They went and got Peyton Manning, and they said, we don't care how bad we're going to be after Peyton Manning. Go get every free agent we possibly can. And it worked. And I'm not saying that it will work every time, but it worked for Denver. They lost a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. Just saying, look, we're going to create a 3-year window and then have put ourselves in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Cowboys are in it, but I just wonder, will Jerry ever get desperate enough during this Dak Prescott run to say, I don't care if we put ourselves in a horrible situation 3 years from now?
Certainly could, certainly used to all the time. He thought it was nothing to put yourself in a bad situation. He would say, oh, no, salary cap hell is not real. And they changed their mind on that over the last 5 or 6 years and started operating much more differently. I wonder throughout the course of that, are they getting super fiscally responsible to set up so one day they could take a big swing? And we're about to find out next month. We're about, because now if there's ever been a situation to totally go for it, I think this year would be the year. Unless you have like an older quarterback right. or some other kinds of situations. I don't think the Cowboys are. I don't think they want to go back into that mode of taking the big cuts. And this year, I don't blame them because, you know, I think you have to be smart when you do it. I don't think you can say eliminate that from our strategy forever.
Yeah.
But I don't think you do it when you're talking about guys who might be too old of pass rushers. You do that to keep players in their prime after you just made it to the Super Bowl but didn't win it. Yeah. You're like, we got to finish this fight. We're so close. But you don't do it after you were 8-8.
No, I'm with you. I think the tough thing as a Cowboy fan, too, with this is – we look at teams, and when they hit their peak, when they see that they have a window to win a Super Bowl, they stay in that window for 3 to 5 years approximately when they're really good. Like, we think Baltimore's hitting that window, right? That for 3 to 5 years they're going to be in it, and then they're going to be out of it. We just saw Seattle was in that window. They only won one, and they lost one with a bad play at the goal line. But the Cowboys, you think they're in it, and they don't get close to being in it. And I think you've made this point, Gavin. How long can we really consider this window open? I mean,
yeah.
Even the teams that win the Super Bowl have, after 4 or 5 years, are like, we can't do this anymore. We have to kind of reset everything. And that's what Seattle's trying to do. They're still winning because they have such a great quarterback. But most teams get a 3 to 5 year window, which I think the Cowboys did. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get over the top or anywhere close to over the top. And I think we're going to be in about a 3-year reset window now.
I mean, I think they kept their window open longer than most teams can because they had so many good players. And I think the cool thing is the window doesn't have to close. Just have another great draft class. Hey, look at that. We have three guys that can make a Pro Bowl for us.
It just gets heavier and heavier, and it takes more great draft picks to keep it propped open.
Yeah.
Nail them all.
It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. The best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that is the G-Bag of the Day. We do it live here from Premier Grilling, the Frisco location, three other locations across the Metroplex, McKinney, Plano, and now open in Southlake. Swing on by and get a Kamado Joe for Valentine's Day. It's very romantic. It'll warm you right up. Okay.
Put it in the living room. Use it as a fireplace.
No.
Sorry.
Why not?
Carbon monoxide?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a very happy Valentine's Day.
We just burn wood in there, right? And then you get a...
Crack your windows.
Yeah, open
You're
up.
Fine.
Get a little hole in the roof.
Mike
smoke
and Jeff
out.
Talking about that kind of stuff.
We're just spitballing. We don't know. We're not advising. We're asking.
Okay, good. Yeah. Just spitballing. Yeah. Definitely not advising. Yeah. All right, yes. Who is the champion, Lucius?
Jim Crane contradicted himself. Take it away, Troy.
After Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve spoke for like literally a minute and 12 seconds. But he was asked about the Astros. Jim Crane was. Well, he gave an answer, and then ESPN's Jeff Passan had a follow-up. Oh, Jim Crane got caught.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Oh, this is amazing. This is such great stuff.
You know, maybe this is why they didn't really want to talk.
Right. Yeah, that was rough, man. Jim Crane, talk about the ultimate backfire. As we're live here at Premier Grilling, where they're lighting fires and getting you set for Valentine's Day, Tolo just came by, picked up a fan T-shirt, and asked if we had any flags.
Yeah.
Told him we're about 7.5 months away now.
Okay,
right around the corner.
Almost there.
2020.
Just hang tight. Time goes faster than you think, especially once you hit your 30s. Be here in no time.
I think they proved it scientifically.
Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe it's all things are relative.
As the grave begins calling, time goes faster.
You're like, crap, man, stop going so quick. I remember being a kid and just thinking, oh, that'll be the coolest when I'm 16. I can drive it. It seemed forever.
Yeah.
It was like 3 years away.
I want to go back to being 4.
All right, there he is, Jim Crane contradicting himself, a one-time G-Bag of the Day champion. You know, only the best and brightest and most ethically sound can make their way to the top of the American sports pyramid. That's Jim Crane for you.
Yep. That's true. Yeah,
he did it.
Mm-hmm. Billionaires live by some really cool rules.
Who's challenging, Lucius?
We have Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P. While he was in college, he stole Kobe's knee pads.
I just remember being in college. SCV got the Pac-10 tournament. It was Pac-10 then. Now it's the Pac-12. But the tournament is at the Staples Center. And we had the Lakers locker room. So I just remember telling them nobody could sit in that seat, in Kobe Bryant's seat, but me. I don't want to be snitching on myself. But I broke into his locker, the underneath part. I took like two knee pads. It was purple. Our uniform is cardinal and gold. And I played with it. I said, I'm Kobe today, y'all. I stole the knee pad. So if you look at our first game at the Staples Center, I got purple knee sleeves on. I thought I was Kobe.
Oh, man.
Oh, what? Couldn't tell me nothing. I had the pro. I had the Kobe's on. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I thought I was going to get in trouble, but they let me slide.
And I think he hit the winning shot that game as well.
Yeah. Well, that's an impermissible benefit. He should have been suspended immediately from college play. Yeah.
What a great story, though. Yeah. Any opportunity to, you know, pay tribute. I saw Tiger Woods today. He was on fire on the front nine. He eagled the first hole. I think he had a 31, a 5-under 31 on the front. He made a birdie on hole 8, and he did Kobe throwing the ball back
to
his caddy.
That's awesome. Swaggy P thought nobody'd ever tell on him after that, and then D'Angelo Russell became his teammate.
Good one, Mike.
Thanks.
It is a Friday. It's also his final show. You going to go for 81 today, something like that?
Ooh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
I remember that game, but I didn't watch that game live. I can remember when he scored, what was it, 62 or 63 and 3/4 against the Mavericks.
Yes.
I watched every second of that.
I wanted him to go back in. I wanted to see if he could get to 80, 85.
Yeah, why not? You know? I think it's something weird that goes on where you're approaching in crazy numbers and everybody knows you could, but then you come out of the game?
Well, because they were beating the Mavericks by like 100.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, that's just rude.
You know, with Kobe.
Be rude. I want to see if we can hang 80
on
us.
It's not like Wilt was being polite when he did 100.
Yeah.
It was a blowout and the other team was intentionally missing shots to get him the ball. Let's go.
You just wonder with Kobe and Jordan if they would have played in this era of basketball where if you're the best player, you get to have the ball 100% of the time for 100% of the plays. What their averages could have been if they would have done that.
Jordan and Kobe?
Yeah, they might have been able to average 50 a game.
In the Luka or James Harden offense, it would have been a sight to behold. Okay, who else is challenging, Lucius?
You're not a big fan of Long John Silver's.
My wife makes fun of me, but I love Long John Silver's. I don't get it a lot.
I like their chicken.
But I get their fish.
I like their hush puppies. They make one of the finest hush puppies in the business.
I agree with you.
But their fries are not better than a potato
wedge. And the crispy,
wedge.
Crunchy things that come, you know, the extra.
I call them crunchies. Yeah, I call them crunchies.
Yeah, get the extra. Please, extra crunchies, please. Sorry.
Yeah, once you finish eating, you just got that crunched up batter sitting in there. And what you do is you take the container and you just start licking around the corners.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We have a sports ownership version.
What? Can you tell how disinterested Gavin was
in
our
had been checked out for 180
Holy cow.
Long John Silver's is the worst. I didn't want to talk about a negative sponsor. That's horrible food.
Man.
That was a really good segment we had going.
I know. In my head, I thought like a good natural spot to interrupt had happened, but obviously I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. It's my bad, gentlemen. You deserve better.
I'm voting for that.
You deserve better in many ways.
I'm voting for Long John's.
Is it Long John Silver? Is it Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P, stealing from Kobe, taking his knee pads there back in the day, got in the Staples Center locker, said, man, I'm taking my opportunity. Jim Crane contradicted himself. He is our one-time G-Bag of the Day champion. Yeah, I will. I like that Long John Silver cut as well. I'll go ahead and make it 2-0 in favor of Long John Silver. Lucius, where are you going today?
Jim Crane.
Righty. Jeff.
Long John Silver. I'm going to keep Mike's sweet voice around for Monday.
Mm.
By a score of 3-1, and new G-Bag of the Day champion. It's the Long John Silver segment ending. We're live at Premier Grilling, okay? El Dorado and the Toll is our location. There's three others that have an amazing Kamado Joe sale going on. If you've been looking to get into that ceramic cooking, that egg-style cooking, well, now's the best opportunity because Kamado Joe has an amazing sale going on at Premier Grilling for Valentine's Day. And we're back with a segment from Mike. Where are we going?
How many of these big, major contracts actually work out for the team next?
All righty. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here. We're live at Premier Grilling. An excellent Valentine's Day sale is going on with their Kamado Joe line. Come get a screaming deal. Here's Mike Bassick.
All right, so I was looking at NFL contracts and MLB contracts, and it's interesting. What I found in the NFL is there's never been a $200 million contract signed, as in the value of this contract is something for $200 million or over $200 million.
Not yet. Not till Dak gets this deal done,
well,
baby.
Well, it did say that most likely, at least in the articles, that Pat Mahomes will be the first to break the $200 million barrier on a contract.
More money.
I was going to give you guys, because I was thinking about this from Kyler Murray's standpoint, because he did have a tough decision to make, and we think he made the right decision because he's probably – never going to be a superstar baseball player. But looking at this, if you become a superstar baseball player, you make a lot more money than quarterbacks do. It just is what it is. I guess I was looking at it going, gosh, I mean, to make, you know, the 30-something million a year from a quarterback's perspective. But
that's very
just
new.
Looking at both of it, I will give you guys, there's been 9 players, according to Business Insider, who have made 200 or more million dollars in the NFL.
Okay.
Just playing the NFL, not doing commercials and all that, just based off of their contract, adding up every year they played in the NFL that they've made $200 million or more. You guys want me to just go down the list or you want to guess?
I know 1 and 2, oddly.
Okay. Do you know how many – guess how many you think there are that have made $200 or more million dollars in the history of the NFL?
I think it's 9 guys.
Okay.
Because you just said that, didn't you?
I probably did, because I was like, that's a great guess, because you hit it on the button.
You just said it.
Dang it. Okay.
I do know the top two. I don't know the rest.
The top two are?
Both the Mannings. I believe it's Eli
correct.
And then Peyton, or Peyton and then Eli.
You are correct. As I scroll down here, Peyton Manning number 2 at $248.7 million, and Eli Manning has made $252.3 million in his NFL career, the most ever in the history of football.
That's why.
Surely, go ahead.
That's why Eli's my hero. He gives hope to everybody out there. If you're just average at your job, you might be the richest person to ever do it.
$252.3 million. Remember that number. The most ever in the history of football, and that's for a whole career, not a contract. That's for a whole career.
Okay.
Gavin, you want to give me another?
Give me another old guy, an old guy that did not give hometown discounts or my wife's a model discounts. Of course, I'm talking about Drew Brees.
Drew Brees at number 3, $244.7 million. Jeff.
Give me Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is 5th. We missed one person. He is at $233.6 million. Gavin, for so many extra points, do you know who the 4th is overall?
He's already earned it.
Stop looking at my computer. Yeah.
You had Aaron Rodgers number 5.
Number 5. He just named Aaron Rodgers. So we have the Breeze, the Mannings, and Rodgers. 1, 2, 3, 5.
And it's already in the bank or it's been contracted
already,
to him?
I would say already in the bank is the way that this looks, but it could be contracted to him because I'll just say number 9.
Matt Ryan.
It isn't Matt Ryan.
Dang.
Matt Ryan is number 7 overall, though. So you did hit a player on this list at $223.5 million contract-wise. Season's 12, highest earning season, 44.8. That was in 2019. So last year he made 44.8.
But we're looking for number 4, huh? He's still
number
playing?
Number 4 and number 6 now, Jeff. Yeah. Well, both of these guys are still playing.
Flacco.
Not Flacco.
He signed a really big deal after the Super Bowl.
He's not 4 or 6.
Okay.
Philip Rivers?
Yeah.
You have named a guy in the top 9 at number 8, $218.9 million. So he is in the $200 million club.
Who are the other old quarterbacks?
So now we're just missing a few here.
Who are the old quarterbacks?
It must add up, even though he was given hometown discounts.
Is Tom Brady at number 4 overall? $235.2 million. Your hint will be this guy has a relationship with Eli and Philip Rivers.
A relationship?
Yeah.
With Eli
and
Philip Rivers.
I guess the relationship's probably not the best word, but there's your hint.
Eli and Philip.
They've been intimate.
Rivers. He was a Giant and a Charger. He's a relationship.
Dan Fouts.
No, he was in the same draft.
Oh, Roethlisberger?
Ben Roethlisberger, number six at $232.3 million. And number nine overall.
Romo.
Not Romo.
Oh.
It is going to be our Highland Park's own Matthew Stafford at $203.8 million.
Uh-huh.
Those are the nine players in the history of football who have earned $200 million or more, and 240-something was, or 252.3 was the most ever earned, and that's by Eli Manning at this point. Now, okay, go ahead.
Can I guess the next step in this game? How many baseball players have signed a $200 million contract? Is that the game?
Yeah.
A bunch.
A bunch. A bunch is correct. Not just like career earnings, because career earnings. So here are your leaders. If you become a famous baseball player and hit that six-year mark where then you get to sign a big contract, the guy who's been paid the most in the history based off a contract, it's obviously still going. It will go till 2030. Mike Trout signed an extension of $426.5 million. On a 12-year contract. 12 years for 26.5.
Didn't A-Rod sign multiple $200 million contracts?
I'm going to go in order here, but you do have – he's on there two times. You have Bryce Harper signed a $330 million contract a year ago. Giancarlo Stanton, $325 million contract just this offseason. Garrett Cole, $324 million contract. Manny Machado a year ago, a $300 million contract. Miguel Cabrera, a $292 million contract, which ends in 2023. The one thing about this that I was looking at for the football players is – for most of those guys, it's worked out. Even Eli, and we can argue Eli. I get it. Eli is not one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But they ended up, through his career, winning two championships. So when I go 1 through 9, there was never a point, at least, where you're looking and they're all active. You're like, this guy's totally horrible. Because you can get out of their contract at that point, and those are career earnings. So when you get out of the contract, you just owe them what's left. So when you look at the NFL, I was just looking at Dak Prescott and going, it's not a horrible – it's not – I don't think you're ever going to be put in a situation where you're like, he's horrible, and we still owe him another $5 million this year and next year. You'll just be looking at it going – all right, we got to get out of this because we can't put a good team
around
him.
It's crazy because it's the situation where actually the football thrower gets hurt significantly less than the baseball thrower, even though the baseball player is not getting tackled.
Yeah.
The torque on his arm is so much more different. And then, yeah, the safety of the game. But the way that they've structured the rules now continues to make it easier and easier. So the worry about getting your block knocked off is going away, you know? Yeah. So now, oh, I'm older, I'm not as tough, I might not have as much testosterone coursing through my veins. That's fine. I don't need to be a full-on alpha in my prime to play this game anymore. Yeah. Keep on rocking.
The other reason I bring up the baseball side of it is because Evan Grant wrote an article the other day, don't hold your breath, kind of on Chris Bryant or Nolan Arenado. They would have done it pretty much already if they were going to do it. But don't worry. Next offseason, they're going to go into the big pond and get one of these big fishes.
Good
but
things come to those who wait.
This is what you have to do. You have to get into the $300 million range now get your guy.
What was your biggest contract in baseball?
I think the league minimum in 2007 was $340,000, somewhere around there. Maybe I had a little bit more than league minimum. But I didn't.
You weren't up the whole year, though, were you?
I got called up May 18th or May 19th.
So you made like 200 something. Man, Knuckles.
That was that, the 1 year.
What
that,
up?
The 1 year I made good money in Major League Baseball, and that
bought
was considered. Well, he actually redid our house.
Okay. Already had a house.
So, yeah, we had our house, but redid it.
You buy your wife some lingerie with that money or what?
I did not. Yeah, she doesn't care about lingerie. I don't care about it too much
you
either.
You guys are more of a naked couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On natural.
Yeah, like today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just
wait
really
till tonight. Weird in public.
All right, so as I go down this list, Jeff hit it as I go down. $275 million for Alex Rodriguez for his 2008 through 2017 contract. And as I scroll down a little bit more, he signed the $252 million contract for 2001 through 2010. He opted out in 2007 to sign another 200-something million dollar contract.
That a boy.
Nolan Arenado, this is the guy we want to trade for, supposedly. $260 million. He's probably – I wonder if he'll make the list twice because I bet he's going to opt out of that contract in 2 years and then sign another $200 million contract. And I don't know if that I guess it counts because you sign it, but you don't get close to making the $200 million. Anthony Rendon, $245 million. Steven Strasburg, $245 million. Albert Pujols, $240 million. Robinson Chirinos, $240 million. Joey Votto, $225 million. David Price just traded, $217 million. Clayton Kershaw, $215 million. I bet you guys can't name the next guy on the list, and I will tell you, he signed a contract over $200 million, and the Rangers are still paying it.
Chan Ho Park.
Nope.
He didn't get 200. Darvish. No.
Nope. He signed a contract over two.
Yes.
Prince
Fielder. This is the last year the Rangers pay Prince Fielder. He signed in 2012 a $214 million contract that runs out in 2020. So the Rangers, I think, owe him like $9 million this year is the last year. I can't remember how all the insurance and
what do you think about putting him at first base? That back healed up on him yet?
Is the neck.
Oh, is his neck healed up?
I bet not.
TH.
Max Scherzer, $210 million. And Zach Greinke, $206 million. That rounds out all the guys in Major League Baseball who have just signed a contract of $200 million or more.
How many was that?
A lot.
How are you going to do, this segment and not count and not have the number ready?
We're live at Premier Grilling El Dorado in the Toll here in Frisco. Their Kamado Joe Valentine's Day sale continues.
19.
Get on over here and get a Kamado Joe.
It wasn't numbered.
In ceramic cooking. When we come back, why is the Cowboys offense bottom five in this stat? And whose job is it to change it? We'll discuss it on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.